So, my name's David. One of the things I want to do as I lead Grace Church through this strange time is make sure that we stay firmly rooted in the Word of God. And so we're going to look at God's Word now. We're not yet finished on our preaching series in the Lord's Prayer. And if there was ever a season when God's people should unite together and rise together in prayer, then surely it is now. Joe is going to bring this series to a conclusion next week, looking at temptation and also looking at evil. Jesus taught us to pray, Father, deliver us from evil, which again feels like it has more relevance in the current climate than maybe it ever has before, in my experience. And today's Mother's Day. It's good to give thanks for mums everywhere, the real heroes of our society. We had originally planned to be giving thanks for new babies this morning and dedicating them to God, but then we had originally planned to be meeting together across our four Grace Church sites. And it became clear on Monday that this was not going to be possible. The measures that our government has put in place to limit social contact are just totally unprecedented, but then we face an unprecedented threat from the spread of this virus. And as the measures have ramped up across the country, there has also been a steady ramping up and escalation of fear. You can see it in the conversations that you have with people as people are interviewed on TV. You can see it in the panic buying that's going on in our supermarkets. And there have been times over this last week where I've been sat quietly pondering everything that's happening, and I've thought, hey, I feel afraid. And at times like this, we need to come back to our source of life. We need to come back to Jesus and hold on to him and his word. So today I want to look at what Jesus says to us on the subject of fear. We can look in the Gospels at times when Jesus addressed the subject of fear, firstly to see what people were afraid of, because that helps us to understand the types of fear that we experience at a time like this, and then to see what Jesus spoke into those situations. So I want us to start in Luke chapter 12. Let me just read some verses to you from Luke 12, verse 4, it's down to verse 7. It says this. This is Jesus speaking. I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that can do no more. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after your body has been killed, has authority to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten by God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. So Jesus here says, don't fear those who kill the body and after that have nothing more they can do. The situation was that as Jesus continued his ministry, he was increasingly beginning to cause offense to the Jewish leaders, the Pharisees, the teachers of the law. And these were people of considerable power and influence in that community. And whereas they'd begun by being interested and intrigued by everything that Jesus taught and the miracles that he performed, now more and more they were becoming hostile and threatening in their comments. And Jesus' disciples were thinking, well, hang on a minute, we could be in danger here. Shouldn't we just kind of cool it down a bit? I mean, seriously, we could die. And for the first time since following Jesus, they knew fear. And primarily, that was the fear of death. the disciples were faced with the prospect of dying, and that evoked feelings of fear. I think that the fear of death is massive in our culture. It's the thing that is on people's minds way more than it is part of their conversation. Actually, it's a fear that is always there behind the surface, below the surface, but with coronavirus hanging over us like a cloud, I don't know, literally, it's a fear that people everywhere are finding it harder to ignore. We're inherently wired to value life, to want to sustain it. That's a good thing, because anything made in God's image is inherently precious. We should value life. But death is also a horizon that we can't see beyond. There's much that is unknown, and so without any knowledge of the hope that's in Jesus, then it's not surprising that people would fear that unknown of death. And even for Christians too, I know there can still be a residual fear around the subject of dying. Fear of what death will hold for them, fear of what it would do to those left behind, fear of losing the life they currently have, which would be brought about by losing physical health. Some years ago, I was in a prayer meeting and my eyesight went all strange. And as my eyesight returned, I got this crushing headache, and basically I had a migraine. And that was followed over the next week by a number of other migraines. And I was just taken out for a few weeks physically. And it was just a time I was feeling really low. I probably had a bit of depression, actually, at that time. And I sat at home and I was reading through scripture. And I actually looked at some of the Freedom in Christ course material, and there's a bit of that course where it talks about renouncing fear, and I read down the list of things that we can commonly fear, and one of them was fear of dying. And I just felt God say to me, David, that's you. And I knew it was, and I knew I'd been harboring that fear, and I actually broke down and in tears and repented to God. So yeah, I need to put that in God's hands. Now, that was some years ago. I just had some illness or something. I don't know what it was. I got better. But God used that time to show me that I'm not immune to the fear of death. Christians are not immune to the fear of death. And yet, as God's children, we have a wonderful opportunity to exercise faith. Now, if we move further on down through Luke chapter 12, after the Jesus tells a parable of the rich fool, and then Luke again picks up the subject of Jesus addressing fear in verse 22. Well, let me read on from verse 22. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They don't sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the wild flowers grow. They don't labor or spin, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of them. And if that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you? You have little faith. Don't set your heart on what you will eat and drink. Don't worry about it. For the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Don't be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom." So verse 22, Jesus says to his disciples, "I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you will eat, not about your body, what you'll wear." So the word that's used here in this part of Luke 12 is not fear, as it was before. Now it's worry. Do not worry. The Bible uses the word fear and it uses the word worry. And the original meaning of those words is different. Fear is a negative emotion that paralyzes you and stops you from taking action. Whereas the word that's translated worry, it's also a negative emotion, but it means something that distracts you, that takes away your focus and you can't leave it alone. So you fear death, but you are worried about money. And they're slightly different, but I don't want you to get hung up on the difference. It's really all fear. The fear that's being addressed here at the end of Luke chapter 12 is the fear of losing financial security. It's the fear of poverty. Now, I have no idea how this country is going to continue to function over the coming weeks and months. If I was to analyse my own fears, I think I would put my fear of contracting some life-threatening illness probably lower down the list. Next would be my fear of the impact of isolation. And for many people, that's hugely significant. And I think we're only beginning to work out what that means. But top of my list, personally, is my concern for people's jobs and businesses and source of income, mine included. For all of us, our culture is such that we've got easily locked into a standard of living. It's almost irrelevant what our income is. We just settle into a certain size of house and type of car and level of social life and so on. We set our lives somewhere. And the thought of that being taken away can fill you with fear. At best, it's distracting. At worst, it's consuming. I guess for some, it would be paralyzing. Let me give you another example from the Gospels when Jesus addressed the subject of fear. On one occasion, the disciples were out on a boat with Jesus, and there was a violent storm that blew up. But Jesus was asleep, and they had to wake him up and say, "Jesus, hey, there's a storm." They were terrified. You can read about it in Matthew chapter 8 and also Luke chapter 8 as well. So apart from the fear of dying, which was there again, and the fear of really big waves, there was also a fear there, which I think we can relate to, which was the fear of losing control. And there are times in life when it's like a storm is raging around you. And it feels to me like we are in one of those times right now. And you can feel so small and feel weak in comparison to the magnitude of the events that are going on around you. There's no way that you can hope to get control of what is going on. The only option, surely, is that you will be a victim of circumstances, tossed about on the waves. And so in this position of being unable to control the outcome, it's so easy to just fear the outcome. Fear of losing control. It's much in life right now that we could be fearful of. And yet, the command of Jesus to his disciples is not to let your life be controlled by fear. And therefore, he has equipped you and me with everything we need to be free of fear in this day. So let's look how Jesus speaks into these situations. In fact, I want to bring it all together. I think there is a three-step plan here for overcoming fear. And the first step to overcoming fear is just to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit in you is a source of peace like no other in this world. This is not a case of mind over matter. This is supernatural encounter with the living God. Jesus said this in John 14. He said, "The Advocate, the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things. He'll remind you of everything I've said to you." And then he says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you." I don't give what the world gives to you. Now I give you something supernatural. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't be afraid. You see, a child of God, a Christian, is not meant to live life in the same way as an unbeliever. We have something altogether different. The Christian life is not a natural life, it's supernatural life. It's life in the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit and He will give you a different perspective on all those things in life going on at the moment that could so easily result in fear. He will change your view. So Jesus said in Luke 12, don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about what you're going to drink. Verse 30, He says, because it's the people of the world that run after such things. The Spirit of God in you, well, that changes things. He makes you see things differently. Be filled with the Spirit and you'll recall what Jesus said. Your thinking will bit by bit begin to line up with God's word. Be filled with the Spirit and He will give you a peace that is completely inexplicable outside of Jesus, given the circumstances that we are living in at the moment. But in Jesus makes complete sense. So that's the first thing Jesus says about fear. He says, don't forget, I've given you my Spirit. The second step to overcoming fear is to know the truth. There's a lot of things that Jesus said about fear, which were, I could paraphrase it like, this is the way it is. Know this in your mind. This is what Jesus says. Just kind of know this and you will overcome fear. This is still not mind over matter, but it is knowing your mind what really matters. The truth of Scripture is readily available to you. The choice you have is whether to believe it and stand on it. So in addressing the subject of fear, Jesus talked mostly about His Father. He's saying, in effect, the more you know about the Father, the less you will experience fear. And here's what you need to know. The way that God will address your fears over COVID-19 is not to give you a comprehensive understanding of the workings of virus control. And there's nothing wrong with that knowledge, and I'm really glad that there are people who have that knowledge. But God will address your fears by giving you a comprehensive understanding of Him. And here's what you need to know. Firstly, the Father is the only legitimate focus of your fear. Only He is. Jesus said, I'll show you whom you should fear. Fear Him, who after your body has been killed, has authority to throw you into hell. Now that doesn't sound very comforting, does it? But actually it is. It's a statement of God's absolute authority over all things, over every nation, over every disease, even over life itself. If you've not put your faith in Jesus, then God is not your Father. But He is your creator and He is your judge. And yes, you should be afraid. Even as a Christian, God is not changed. He is still creator, still judge. But your life is now hidden in Jesus with all His sinless perfection credited to you. So a Christian fears God in a different way. It's worship, it's reverence, it's awe and respect. And we saw that earlier in our Lord's Prayer series when we were looking at what it means to pray, hallowed be your name. You have a certain knowledge that there is nothing in this world, nothing in the circumstances of life around you at the moment that lies outside of the sovereign control of your Father God. Secondly, know this about God. The Father knows you perfectly. He knows the particular thing that's making you anxious. He knows what it is that is at the root of your fears right now. He knows the circumstances of your life. Jesus said, aren't five sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Yet not one is forgotten by God. Even the hairs on your head are numbered by him. Whatever it is about this current situation that would make you afraid, God knows all about it. He's not forgotten you. Verse 30 says, your father knows that you need food. He knows that you need drink and clothes. He knows. Many of the occurrences of fear in your experience will be determined by how you view God in your life. Imagine that your life is represented by this rectangle, everything that makes up who you are, every situation that you are involved in, everything about you is contained in this box. And now think, well, where does God fit kind of in my life? And it may be that if you were to represent God in your life, it would be something like this. Yeah, there's God. It means that God is a component part of your life. Your life is all this, yeah, but God, he sits here. Maybe that's your Sundays when you're in church. Maybe it's your life group. Maybe it's when you stop to and you remember, think, oh, I could pray about that. That's the time when I could pray. And God is in there somewhere, in that little part. But then you've got all this other part of your life. What's out here? I don't know, maybe your work, or when you were out with family and friends, and times when you don't really connect with God at all. Well, if God's here, then what's here? That is a recipe for fear. If you're experiencing fear and anxiety, consider whether in the perception of your own life, you consider there to be some area or aspect of your life that is somehow beyond God, somehow outside of his remit. Because you know, this is not the truth. This is not the way it is. This is the truth. Your life is entirely contained within God. You are in his hands, every bit of you. Now, when you view your life like this, there is nowhere for fear to hide. God has got it all under control, and he really does. So the Father knows you perfectly. Thirdly, the Father loves you abundantly. Verse 7 says, fear not, because you are of value much greater than sparrows. You are worth more than many sparrows, it says. It's good to know, isn't it? That's the Bible's knack for understatement, I think. You are of huge worth. The Father is working for you. He is always working for your good. You can watch the news at the moment. You can feel it all impacting on your life. You can think, oh, I'm not in control of this. But know that the Father has got it, and he is working on your behalf. He loves you abundantly. In verse 24, we're told to consider the ravens. Ravens, I mean, horrible beaky things. Don't really like ravens, crows, not very nice, are they? Ravens don't store up their food. They have an inherent confidence that God will feed them. And do you know what he does? You can count on God to supply what you need. You don't need to store up what God provides today and accumulate stuff just in case God's not there for you tomorrow. He will give you your daily bread. As he gave the manna to the Israelites each day as they were in the desert. We saw that a few weeks ago. In verse 24, we are told to, verse 27 rather, to consider how the wild flowers grow. And we're told if God so clothes the grass, how much more will he clothe you? The simple message is that God loves to make things beautiful. He puts quite a lot of work into a flower. That's pretty beautiful. So, how much care and attention will he put into you? He longs to take your life and to make it beautiful. Not a train wreck. Not something thrown out on the rubbish heap. Not some dirty old rag that just gets over the line. No, beautiful. A living testimony to God's redeeming victory. That's what God is doing in you. It's not, oh, that's a shame. Never mind. No, it's wow, you're amazing. He loves you abundantly. Fourthly, the Father sent his Son to defeat death. That's what God wants you to know. Jesus said a lot on the subject of death, actually. If you find that you fear the loss of some element of your life, or you fear death itself, then remember what Jesus said to that worthless criminal who was on the cross next to his, but had expressed faith in Jesus. He said, "Today, you will be with me in paradise." He was saying, you need have no fear of death because I've defeated death. I guess the biggest thing that Jesus said was what he demonstrated through his death and through his resurrection. Jesus's great statement through his life and his death and his rising again was, death is defeated. If you know nothing else from Jesus, know death is defeated. There is resurrection life for all eternity, for all who call out on his name. So, in Jesus' three-step plan for dispelling fear, we have step one, be filled with the Spirit. Step two, remind yourself of truth. Focus on what just is true, true every day. It was true last year, it's true this year, particularly about God. Know what God wants you to know. Yeah. Step three is to take practical faith steps. When the disciples were in that storm in the boat and the waves were up here and they were scared out of their wits, and actually, Jesus didn't say a great deal in that situation. What I mean is, he didn't sit them down and start to teach them theology, kind of, right, let me explain how the universe works. What he said was simple. He said, "Oh, you of little faith." He said, "Come on, guys, where's your faith?" Overcoming fear in your life ultimately is a walk of faith. Faith is the great antidote to fear. It's good to know the truth because the truth will set you free, but it will do that as you choose to believe it, as you walk in it each day. So, one practical faith step, if your life is dominated by fear or worry, is to actively keep Jesus right at the forefront of your mind. And I encourage you to do that as much as you can. In other words, focus on Jesus. Start each day by talking to him. Bring him into your situation. Bring him into your home. Consciously acknowledge to yourself that Jesus is with you throughout your day, whatever your day holds. And particularly if you are in a situation which is the context of your fear, actively identify Jesus is there with you. If you're afraid to be on your own, say, "Yeah, but Jesus is here with me." Chat with Jesus throughout your day about how you are feeling. Take scripture, especially the promises of scripture, remind yourself of them over and over, print them out, pin them on your wall. All this stuff in Luke 12, brilliant. John 14, I mean, it's all a good place to start. Or 2 Timothy 1, verse 7, God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. I've told you the story before, you might have heard it, of my encounter with a killer dog. But in case you haven't heard it, let me tell you again. I was visiting a client in my old life when I used to work as an engineer. I was visiting a client in his home in North Carolina in the States, right out in the country in the middle of nowhere. And when I arrived at his house, the first thing he did was to get his dog, which was this enormous, vicious wolf of a thing. And he was holding on to its collar and he got it to sniff me really carefully. It's like, here, have a little sniff of this. And he said to me, not the dog, the client, he said, "You need to know that this dog will kill you. If he gets upset, whatever you do, don't run away because he will chase you down and tear you to pieces." And I thought, oh, great. So glad I came. And then he said, "Well, you should be okay because he's had a sniff and he knows who you are now." But later on in the evening, I went into the house for something. I can't remember what, because we were eating outside. And then when I came out of the house again, it was like the dog had forgotten who I was. And he came running over in my direction. He was barking and snarling. And I thought, oh, that's it. You know, thought my number was up. What I did, though, was I kept on walking. And secondly, I kept my eyes fixed not on the dog, but on the owner of the dog, my client, who was over there, and he'd stopped what he was doing and he was looking at me. I think he was watching with interest to see what was going to happen next. See, I kept my eyes there. I knew that if I was going to need help then, that that was where it was going to come from. Now, the devil wants nothing more than to paralyze you with fear. He wants to rob you of your faith. He wants to stop you moving forward. And he will roar and he will shout and he will snarl and he will do whatever he can to intimidate you. But when it comes down to it, there is an owner and he is in control. And that owner is Jesus. You need to keep your focus on Jesus. Don't be distracted. Don't look for escape routes. Don't run. Don't get into fleshly sinful behavior. Keep all your attention on Jesus. Another practical faith step is to consciously separate faith and fear when making a decision. Just think, what's my motivation here? So, I mean, in life, we are always making decisions, choices. Many of them are small and trivial. Sometimes it's key life decisions. We're plotting a course through life. As a Christian filled with the Spirit, you can learn to make decisions based on reasons rooted in faith rather than reasons that actually are based in our fear. Fear is when you conceive of some negative outcome and you desperately want to avoid it and you're afraid of it. Faith is when you conceive of a positive outcome, a preferred future, one that honors God and you take steps towards it. You see, it's a faith motivation, not a fear motivation. Just get in the habit of thinking, am I making this decision because I fear something bad's going to happen? Or am I making this decision out of faith because I'm believing for something good? And you can do it. You can live in this realm of faith. You reject fear. You say, no, I'm going to live in this realm. Maybe you're faced with having to self-isolate at the moment. I think that's pretty much all of us to some extent. But just examine your thought process. Are you in fear of catching some disease that's lurking outside your door? Or are you in faith that to isolate now is God's best plan for you right now? It's submission to advice you've been given. God will use this in unexpected ways that, yeah, I believe for this. As a child of God, you can live in that realm of faith because it's all in God's hands anyway. You don't need to think, yeah, but what if this happens? What if this happens? It would be terrible. Leave all that to God who loves you and take hold of something in faith. You can do it. And then finally, a key practical step to overcoming fear in your life is to seek the kingdom of God. And this is what Jesus says in Luke 12. He says, your Father knows what you need. Don't run after all the stuff the world runs after. Verse 31, he says, instead, seek his kingdom. And these things will be given to you as well. Make the priority of your life, not reinforcing your own personal security, but rather bringing about the growth, the expansion of God's kingdom. That means seeking to bring honor and glory to God wherever you can, bringing Jesus into your conversation with others, giving God the credit for blessing you receive, living to be a generous blessing to other people, especially those who are vulnerable, especially those who are in need, bringing mercy and justice to every situation. We have a unique opportunity as God's people at this time. There is also a profound need, I think, to share the love of Jesus to others in our day. And I just encourage you all to reach out to someone each day. And we're used to sending WhatsApp messages and pinging emojis and stuff like that, but that's because we know we have proper contact with people on Sunday and or at life group or at work. I think there's now a need to actually pick up the phone and have a conversation with people, use FaceTime and Skype and all that sort of stuff as well. But I think let's aim to bug each other with phone calls. I don't mean bug people's phones. I just mean, you know, if you're like me, I'm always a little bit annoyed that I'm intruding on people. I just think we need to get over that. Come on, let's connect with people. Our primary means for staying connected is going to be the phone. I don't want anybody to fall through the cracks. Let's reach out to people. Choose somebody new each day. Be quick to offer practical help and support. Don't be too proud to receive it from others. We're seeking his kingdom. We have an opportunity here to shine like a bright light in this community. When you prioritize the glory of God in your life, you can be confident that he will look after you. We're wise in how we live and follow advice. But we can be confident that we are in God's hands. So claim that promise for yourself. When you find yourself thinking, yeah, but I'm just afraid of the future. I just want to lock myself away. The best response you can make is think, do you know what? I'm going to live for Jesus. I'm going to build his church. I'm going to be God's man. I'm going to be God's woman first and foremost. And you know what? Not only will we get through this together, but that fear, that hold of the enemy will simply melt away. So I want to finish by just leading us through a prayer together. It's actually a prayer that's kind of taken from our Freedom in Christ course, which deals with this whole subject of fear. We will run Freedom in Christ again when we can. I'm just going to pray it through. Make it your prayer as I'm praying it, as your way of responding in faith to the words of Jesus. Just take a moment to consider what is it that nags away at you and you think, hey, I'm a bit afraid of this. Might be the fear of catching some disease, the fear of death. Might be the fear of what the next weeks and months hold for you. Might be the fear of financial hardship and losing security. All those things. Might be something else entirely from life. Just encourage you to express that to Jesus. Bring that to Jesus. Exchange it for faith. Seeing things as God sees them. Choosing to make choices and decisions out of faith. God's love for you. Let's just pray together. Heavenly Father, I do confess to you that I've listened to the devil's roaring, snarling, biting. I've allowed fear to creep into my thoughts and my emotions. I just confess I've not always walked by faith in you. But I've put just too much focus on my feelings, my circumstances. And I just want to say I'm sorry. Just thank you for your forgiveness in that. And right now, I just renounce the spirit of fear. And I affirm the truth that you haven't given me a spirit of fear. You've put your spirit in me. He's a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. Lord, just reveal to me now all the fears that I have, fears that I've let control me. I just renounce them. I want to walk free. I want to be free to walk by faith in you. Thank you for that freedom that you have purchased for me. So right now, I renounce the fear of, I just insert there the fear that you've been feeling. Just renounce that fear. I choose to live by faith in the God who's promised to protect me, meet all my needs as I walk with him. Thank you, oh God, that we can trust you totally. I choose to believe you, oh God, even when my feelings and circumstances and everything that's going on around us at the moment would tell us to fear. You've told me not to fear because you're with me. I just put my focus, I put my trust there. You told me to not look anxiously around me because you are my God. You will strengthen me. You will help me. You will uphold me by your righteous right hand. And I stand on that truth right now. I receive your spirit. Just feel your love for me, your hand upholding me. And I just give you thanks. And I pray this with faith in the name of Jesus, my Lord and Saviour. Amen.